I grew up in Scotland, as you know, and Scotland, like the UK, is not the most capitalistic or consumer-driven country in the world. It's not a kind of as aggressively a consumer-driven society like over here. It's much more socialist in mindset. And so when I was newly married with my wife, Heather, poor as church mice, at the beach, some vacation, kind of walking down the boardwalk, I was not prepared or did not understand exactly what was happening when this nice young lady stopped us and offered us a $100 gift card to Target. All we had to do was come and listen to a presentation about, you know, condominiums and beach homes. For me, I was like, this is the best thing in the world. I'm going to have a $100 gift card to Target, and all we have to do is listen to something, and we can't afford it, and so it's no problem. My wife was a little less dubious. I ought to have listened to my wife. And we went along, and it was that first kind of real experience of the kind of the bait and switch. And it was awful. I mean, I squirmed like nothing on earth. And, you know, trying to convince this person, you know, that we were really that poor. At one point, the young lady asked us if we had a dog because the cost of the vacations were really about equivalent to what most people spend on dog food. And I said, no, we don't have a dog. But then secondly, I wanted to say, and if we did have a dog, what are you suggesting? We kill the dog? That kind of, you know, heavy-handed sales technique kind of drives me crazy. But we're all familiar with that bait and switch. You know, there is no free lunch. There is no free offer. You're always going to pay. There's a hook somewhere. And as we come to Galatians chapter 5 today, it can feel like, oh, now we've finally come to the hook. Here's the bait, the gospel. We've been hearing about this free gospel. We've been hearing about God's grace, His unmerited love and acceptance. All the way through Galatians, we've been hearing again and again and again, look, your goodness, your being a good Christian, the things that you do, that doesn't make God love you or forgive you. Don't trust in those things. You're accepted in Jesus Christ. His life, His death, His resurrection are yours as a gift. It's not about what you do. And then we come to Galatians 5, and we're like, oh, wait, what's all this talk about service? What's all this talk about serving one another? I knew the gospel wasn't free. Here we go, four chapters of feeling great, and now, boom, five chapters, and I'm going to feel like a schmuck because I don't serve enough. That's not what Galatians 5 is saying. Galatians 5 addresses not only what it means to be loved by God, but it addresses what it means to be free. And especially in our modern world, especially in North America, we have a warped understanding of freedom. I say that too as a Scottish person. You've all seen Braveheart. Freedom! If you haven't seen Braveheart, I can't help you. And we have a warped understanding of freedom, of what freedom is and what freedom will do for me. And here in God's Word, in Galatians 5, God addresses what it means to be human, what it means to be set free from grace, and what a life of what I'm going to call human flourishing looks like. We're tempted to groan because it feels like grace is being taken away from us, but that's not the case. Would you read along with me in Galatians chapter 5? We're going to begin in verse 1. It's printed in your worship guide. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and that the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us in your word, and would you give us your very self? Lord, would you meet us wherever we are? Would you find us wherever we are? Whether we are skeptical or full of shame, whether we are hardened in our pride, whether we are despondent, whether we are numb, whether we are busy, whether we are tired, whether we are doing well, or whether we are doing poorly, would you meet us and give us your very self? We don't need words, Lord. We don't need more information. We don't need a motivational shot in the arm. What we need is you. So would you give us your very self, that as we rise to sing, as we pray, as we sing again, as we receive the benediction, as we leave here, that we would know that we have met with the true and the living God, and that you are holy, that you are gracious, and that you are at work. Amen. Amen. I love Church of the Redeemer. I love our church. It's an honor to be your pastor, and I'm excited to be your pastor. 12, 13 years I've been here now, and it's been wonderful. Church of the Redeemer is a church where God is at work, and Church of the Redeemer is a congregation that serves faithfully, that serves regularly, and that serves well. And so this passage this morning is not kind of some chastisement to a lazy flock that's self-indulgent. It's frank and it's direct about serving. We want to take God's word at its and let it say what it says. And at the same time, as much as this congregation serves, we live in a world, as people in a culture, that has a complete misunderstanding of freedom and what freedom is for. We live in a culture that is obsessed with self. And we live in a culture that preaches and teaches every single day that your personal freedom, your personal autonomy, my personal freedom is a path to happiness. And at the same time, we drop back and we look around and say, well, that path to personal freedom and autonomy, kind of statistically, scientifically, we can show that it's leading away from happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, some of our inalienable rights. But since the Declaration of Independence, we can see, especially the past 100 years, we can see that the pursuit of happiness is not leading to happiness. It's not leading to happiness. People are less and less happy with themselves, with their work, with their marriages, with their status in life. Even though we are more educated, even though we are wealthier, even though we have finer clothes and better cars, even though we have cars that can park themselves now. And part of that is what is addressed here in Galatians chapter 5.
we actually are enslaved to our personal freedom. We've enslaved ourselves to false gods and idols, thinking they will make us happy. And so that's also what this passage addresses. Two things we're going to look at this morning. First of all, what are we freed from? What are we freed from? And then secondly, what are we freed to? What are we freed to? Those of you who love outlines are going to love this. I have five sub-points in both of those. Okay? So you better get scribbling. It's two main points, five sub-points. That's 12, okay? If you get to the end of the sermon and you only have 11 and you're panicked, come and find me. And I'll fill it out for you, okay? First of all, what are we freed from? Well, it tells us. Verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We're freed from slavery. We are freed from slavery. What does that mean? First subpoint. We're freed from the slavery of our past. We're freed from the slavery of our past. Look at this. First one. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not again submit to a yoke of slavery. There's a lot of discussion about circumcision in this passage. And that's both something that's literal and also metaphorical. The people in Galatia had come to believe, because Jewish Christians, Judaizers, had come after Paul, they'd come to believe that if they were truly to be acceptable to God, there was a bunch of stuff they were going to have to do. It was in the Old Testament. And if they wanted to be God's people, there were things that were required of them to do in order for God to love them, bless them, and for them to be accepted. And one of them was circumcision. And as we're addressing this here, what's fascinating, we dealt with this a couple of weeks ago, is the Galatians were not Jewish people who'd become Christians. They were Gentiles. They worshipped the kind of the Greek and the Roman gods. Oh, we saw fascinating kind of how Paul is saying, look, if you think you're being a good Christian by doing these things, if you think you're obeying God and earning His favor by doing biblical things, you're doing the same thing you did when you made sacrifices to false gods. It's false gods that were representations of Satan and evil. Your good Christian behavior was actually Satan worship. And what Paul here is addressing again to them as their freedom is at risk is God has set us free from slavery to our past, from past patterns. Here the Galatians had fallen into past patterns, doing what they'd done before, making sacrifices to appease the gods. But this time it was a biblical sacrifice to appease the God of the Bible. And God says in Paul, no, Christ has set you free from slavery to your past patterns. Secondly, God has set us free from slavery to frustration. Again, verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. God has set us free from slavery to frustration. You ever get frustrated that you're doing that stuff again? Those things, that pattern that you know you need to stop. That activity that you know you need to not do. That way you're being that you know you shouldn't be. And you're back again. Here I am again. Here I am again. That's slavery. And it's frustrating, right? When you're like, how many years, how many times am I going to say I'm going to not do X and I'm doing it? Or I'm going to be like this. And here I am, I'm this person again. It's frustrating. God is setting us free in the gospel from that frustrating dynamic of slavery. That again dynamic. Again. Saying, do not submit again. Thirdly, slavery from self-righteousness and hypocrisy. Self-righteousness and hypocrisy. Look at verse 2. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he's obligated to keep the whole law. You're severed from Christ. You would be justified by the law. You've fallen away from grace. God is saying when we are enslaved to being good, when we believe that our goodness, and that can be our acts of goodness or just our good character, that's the way of hypocrisy. Because we know we can never be good enough. Even if you're kind of the person who kind of is like, fooey on being good, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be real. I'm not a rule keeper. I'm authentic. I'm not one of those hypocrites. I don't pretend to have it all together. Look at me. Look at me. I don't pretend to have it all together. That leads to hypocrisy. Because you're proud of yourself for not being a hypocrite. You're proud of yourself for being authentic, for not one of those fake rule keepers. I am keeping the rule that I will not be a rule keeper. Number one rule, do not be a rule keeper. See where it gets you? And we can never do that consistently. We never can be good enough, and we never can be authentic enough. And so it leads to hypocrisy. And that's what Paul is saying here. God is setting us free from slavery to self-righteousness and hypocrisy. 4, God is setting us free from slavery to ourselves. This is what's so powerful in this passage. Look with me at verse 11. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. And that word there, I read it, I think in a text at least once, is a gender-neutral term. And so it really can be translated as brothers and sisters. If you're reading along in the ESV Bible, you'll see that footnote there. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Man, that's a word for us today, right? We need to realize that we are enslaved to ourselves. We think that we are just enslaved to rules, other people's rules, other people's things that they say that we should do. And we're like, fooey on that. I'm a modern person. I'm not going to be bound to that kind of religiosity. But we're also enslaved to ourselves. We're enslaved to our flesh. You think you're free? You think, I've blown off all those religious rules. I don't follow them. I'm free. No, you're not. And you know you're not. How many promises have you made about the gym? And you're still eating popcorn and watching Netflix. How many promises have you made about saving money? How many promises have you made about pornography? How many promises have you made about your time? How many promises have you made about your character? You're not free. All of us are enslaved. How many promises you made about your temper? How many promises you made about that critical spirit? Oh, we are enslaved to ourselves. That's what it's saying here. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, our flesh. God is saying the message of the gospel provides an opportunity for our sin to be even more self-indulgent. And that's slavery. And God is saying he wants to set us free from slavery to ourselves. 5thly, last subpoint. God is setting us free from the slavery of isolation and conflict. Now, if you're reading this passage awake, several parts probably jumped out to you, especially the last verse. Like, kind of like, whoa, wait, where did that come from? You know, if you've been following along and studying Galatians in our daily worship devotions, verse 15, you'd be like, wow, that's kind of a zinger from the outside. Haven't really been prepared for that. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. I'm going to get into this in the rest of the book, but this is a universal truth that we know. When we pride ourselves in our self-righteousness, that doesn't bode well for community. When we pride ourselves in our goodness, my righteousness, what does that do to community and intimacy? It does this. If you bite and devour one another, right? Because for me, if I'm trusting in myself and who I am,
I have to do that in comparison to other people. I have to be better than. I have to have people to look down on. I have to have people who are worse than me. And that leads to biting and devouring. Leads to criticism. Leads to mean-spiritedness. Leads to division. If you think I'm crazy or overstating it, just get on the Facebook or the Twitter. We live in a permissive society, right? We live in an accepting, tolerant society. We live in a society that doesn't have any of those religious rules. We're personally free. And man, we're becoming ugly and uglier and uglier. Why? Because our society clings to self-righteousness. And that only leads to the kind of insecurity and shame that it's just a hairbreadth away from vindictiveness and ugliness. And God desires to set us free from slavery to isolation and conflict. It's made me think this week about The Matrix. And I know I'm showing my age. I can remember when The Matrix came out, I had a good friend. He's like, you got to go see this movie. So I went to see it the first week. He wouldn't tell me anything about it. It was the first movie that I may have seen alone. I'm not a big alone movie watcher, but I think I saw The Matrix alone. And it blew my mind. You know, the part where you kind of Neo realizes that he's the life he's living is not actually living it. That he's in, you know, some machine with a thing in his head. And the computers have taken over. And it all seems so real. But his life is not real. And he takes the red pill or the blue pill. I forget which it is. And he gets set free. And then the battle for the freedom of others goes on. What Scripture tells us is similar to The Matrix. We think we're free. Our modern world tells us we are free. Our modern world promises freedom to us. But how are you going to get more free? Well, it's going to take you money. It's going to take you recognition. It's going to take you success. It's going to take you physical beauty. It's going to take you eternal youth. It's going to take you climbing that ladder. It's going to take you having a beautiful spouse. It's going to take you having successful children who are a credit to you. That's slavery and slavery and slavery. Our modern world tells us that we are free and we don't need no stinking rules. We don't need that repressive religiosity. But our modern world has more enslaving rules than ever before. About who you are to be, where do you to go, what you're to say, what you're not to say, what you're to spend your money on, what you're to support, what you're not to support. And God says, I want to set you free from this. So what does this mean for us? It means for us that we need to realize that even living in 2019 in the most free country in the world, that we're not as free as we are told we are. And that personal freedom is just another idol. If you were set completely free to do what you wanted to do, to be who you wanted to be, with your body, with your sexuality, with your life, statistically, you're going to end up divorced, in rehab, and bankrupt. Why do I say that? Look at almost every single person who's won the lottery. Look at almost every single former NFL or NBA player. People who have the world. Look at all of the celebrities that we idolize. We are not as free as we think we are, and the world lies to us about personal freedom. And we believe it. We got to ask ourselves, okay, what is it that I'm counting on? Is it that answers the question for me, am I a good person? You know, when I'm wondering, am I a good person? Am I an awful person? How do we answer that question?
I'm a good person because I'm a listener. I'm a good person because I'm faithful. I'm a good person because I'm hardworking. I'm a good person because I'm authentic. I'm a good person because I serve. I'm a good person because I give. I'm a good person because what? That those things can never set us free. And those things will always disappoint and enslave us. You can't ever be successful enough. You can't ever be a good enough husband or a good enough wife or a good enough mother or father or a good enough employee, a good enough friend, a good enough son or daughter. That just leads to slavery and disappointment. The message of the gospel, this also reminds us, is not get it right, you idiot. Okay? And a lot of us have that in our head. The message of the gospel in Christianity is get it right, you idiot. That's not the message of the gospel. That's slavery. The message of the gospel is Jesus got it right and gave it to you. So God is setting us free from slavery. Whether it's slavery to Christian goodness or slavery to my own moral code. God is setting us free from slavery. But that's not enough. It's good news, but it's not enough. It's great to be freed from something, but what are we freed to? What are we freed to? And that's what we see so much in our society and in our own hearts. We're free from all those Victorian rules. We're free from that repressive Christianity of the past. But what are we free to? Cynicism and criticism and anger are just the fig leaves of a culture that has been set free from something, but doesn't know what it's set free to. Doesn't know what it's set free to. And so it just deconstructs, criticizes. This is wrong. This is wrong. They're awful. They're bad. But doesn't know how to create beauty. It only can criticize. And here God tells us what we have been set free to. And it's beautiful. Look with me at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now we have to admit, I have to admit, when we read this, we're kind of like, ugh, dang it. I was liking this freedom stuff. I was liking this Jesus loves me stuff. I was liking this, it doesn't matter what you've done or who you are, you're perfect in Jesus. I was liking that. Now I'm going to have to serve people? Come on. That's not fair. That's just the same thing again. I thought it was free. It's like the part of the Godfather. Just when I thought it was out, they drag me back in. Now I have to be a good Christian again, Pastor. It's not what it's saying, but it's saying something very, very important. First of all, look with me back at verse 5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. Second point is we're freed to serve. First point is to serve with the Spirit or to serve through the Spirit. This is not Paul slipping in, you need to be a good person, work hard. God's keeping a list and he's checking it twice. We're freed to serve through the Spirit. That's God inside of you. That's God inside of me. That's His empowerment. That's His work. We're freed not to be good people. We're freed to serve God through the Holy Spirit. We're not freed to serve out of my goodness, my kindness, my love. We're freed to serve with the Holy Spirit working through us. That's freedom. That's freedom, and it's important. So often we are tired and we exhausted and we are dialing it in or faking it because we're serving in our flesh. We're serving out of our guilt. We're serving so that people will think we are nice. We're serving for recognition. or we're serving so we can tell ourselves when the demons come, no, I served. I've served people. I'm not a bad person. And God says, no, you're not free to serve in the flesh. You're free to serve through the Holy Spirit. God working in you and through you. Secondly, verse 5. We ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Second subpoint, we're free to serve with hope. Now, hope for us is a word that's based on unlikeliness. You know, I'm hoping that the Falcons will do better this year. You know, I'm hoping, you know, that I might get a raise. Kind of means probably not, maybe not, but I hope. Uncertainty. The biblical word for hope is not like that. It's much, much, much more certain. It's a foundation. It's a guarantee. It's something that can be relied upon. We're free to serve one another with hope. The hope of Jesus Christ. The certainty of our righteousness in Jesus. The certainty that the judgment day is coming, the end of the world is coming, and we will finally be made right and fully declared righteousness. And we won't be kind of stuck in this tension anymore of hearing the gospel and then doubting if it's true. We serve with hope because Christ has set us free. Past tense. Christ has set us free. He has given us his grace. And so we're set free to serve, first of all, through the Spirit, and then secondly, with hope and with patience. Look again at verse 5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait. We're set free to serve with patience. My serving you is not going to fix you. You serving other people is not going to make it all right. We serve with patience. Why? Because God has been patient with us. Because we have the hope of a sure salvation. We know we're not going to fix everything until the hope of that sure salvation comes. Now we serve with patience. Now we serve with patience even if our service is not effective, even if it's not efficient, even if we're not thanked for it. Even if it doesn't have the results that we desire. And oh man, I'm prone to that one. I can serve, but I always want results. I always want to kind of serve for an outcome. And when I don't get that outcome, I get grumpy. And God enables us to serve not for ourselves. That is slavery. When I serve like that, I'm enslaved to myself. We're set free to serve with patience. Fourthly, to serve through love. God caught me in this, and I'm thankful for the text. Initially, this sub-point was to serve with love. To serve with love. But that's not what the text says. Look with me at verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Now, what's he getting at there? He's basically saying, being a rule keeper or saying, fully on the rules, I'm authentic. I don't need no circumcision or rules. He's saying both. Being a goody two shoes and being Mr. and Mrs. Authentic, what does it do? Counts for nothing. Counts for nothing. But the only thing that counts is faith working through love. Through love. I want to kind of default to say that means with love. I have to be loving. Serve with love. Serve with love. But there's this preposition and tense here that points to say, no, this is through love. God has set us free to serve through love. Through the love of Christ flowing through us. To serve through love. Not my love. But to serve one another and to serve this world with the love of Christ through the power of the Spirit flowing or trickling or kind of a slow intermittent drip sometimes through us. That's how we're called to serve, through love, through the love of Christ. Fifthly, to serve one another and our neighbors. Back to verse 13. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We are freed from slavery to self, thinking that serving myself is going to set me free. It doesn't. We're freed to serve one another and our neighbor. That's what the gospel has given us freedom for. Why has God set us free? To serve myself? No, that's just another slavery. God has set us free to serve one another and our neighbors. In movies and in stories, especially in movies, there's a common kind of theme, common kind of type of movie. And you can call it, kind of, the movie is kind of like, you already have the answer movie. They already have the answer movie. You've seen those movies, right? You know, think of the epic cultural masterpiece, Kung Fu Panda, okay? Po goes all the way through the movie, you know, this fat, overweight, clumsy panda, you know, who is accidentally being appointed the dragon warrior, thinking it's a mistake. And the answer is, Po, you have the answer. You've had it all along. The answer is inside of you. Other movies, like from my childhood, The Neverending Story. Loved that movie when I was a kid. Neverending Story. Atrehu at the end as the world is falling apart. And he's on the big hairy dragon ferret thing. And everything's going dark. And he's told you, the answer, you have the answer. You've had it all along. And it's like the world's falling apart. Everyone's dying. Atrehu, you've had the answer all along. Same with the Wizard of Oz. She had the shoes all along. Couldn't you have told her about the shoes a little bit earlier? The answer was there all along. Our world is desperate to flourish. Our world is desperate for the good life. Oh, we are long to feel fulfilled and purposeful. To know that we're not idiots or schmucks or losers or wasting our lives. We're desperate to know that we have purpose. Our lives mean something. And Galatians 5 reminds us, you've had the answer all along. It was right there. Serve one another through love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why has God set you free? It's not to serve yourself. You're going to kill yourself if you serve yourself. You're going to be miserable, critical, negative, tearing down other people. The answer's been there all along. But unlike the movies, the answer's not inside yourself. It's not you pulling it out. It's not you having this awakening of your awesomeness. It's not you finding your chi or your power or your thing. It's in you finding Jesus Christ in and through you. What does this mean for us? Well, the application's pretty spelled out. What does this mean for us? Look at verse 13 again. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is filled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Don't you dare walk out of here thinking, I got to do better. I got to be a better servant. I got to make it happen. I'm going to fix it. That would be an unchristian response. God's word here is that we eagerly hope in Him. We eagerly hope in Him and our coming redemption. We turn our attention to Him, His love, the work of Jesus Christ, our inheritance that is given to us. We are set free in Jesus. And we allow and discipline ourselves that His love will flow through us to other people. That I want Him to know God's love flowing through me. Not that I need to be a good Christian. I need to do this list. I need to kind of get these activities so I can sleep at night and tell myself I'm good. No. We turn our attention to Jesus Christ in worship. In His Word. Day after day after day pursuing Him. We sing in our cars. We open the Bible with other people, not to have an intellectual lesson, but to meet Jesus. To focus on Him, on His goodness and His wonder, on His mercy. That His love might flow through us. Well, we deliberately serve our neighbors. Who's our neighbor? Well, a good Samaritan's a good start. Not just the people who like us. We serve here at the Sandy Springs Mission. Our neighbors in Sandy Springs. The ignored Latino people who serve everyone in Sandy Springs. God calls us to serve our neighbor. You go to Cherokee to serve our neighbor. And as we do that, the goal is that God's love might flow through us. That our freedom in being found loved and forgiven and whole in Jesus Christ might flow or gush or trickle or drip into God's beautiful world. We love one another here in the church. We commit to be a church family that knows each other. And not a place where we are a stranger. We can't love one another if we don't know one another. You can't love someone in the abstract, okay? Try that, okay? Try loving someone in the abstract. Doesn't work. We love one another as the body of Christ and we walk with one another. Because that is what Christ has set us free for. Knowing what Christ has set us free from is increasingly beautiful and important. But for us today, more and more and more, we need to know what Christ has set us free to. Otherwise, we have the same temptation to indulge the flesh and just to serve ourselves. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be free. By His grace, in His grace, and with His grace. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would You meet us and would You give us more of Yourself? Would You fill us with Your Holy Spirit? Would You deepen our eagerness and our waiting, our certainty in the hope that is ridiculously ours in Jesus Christ, that He is our goodness, our righteousness, our obedience, our perfection. That we have been set free in Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.